God bless each and every one of you on this morning. Welcome to the Midweek Power Nugget. These 15 minutes, if you allow God to speak to your mind, speak to your heart, speak to your soul, it can truly transform your life and the lives of those that are connected to you. We are grateful to God, first and foremost, for life, for waking us up this morning. We are secondly grateful to God that He has spared us for another Wednesday to be able to hear from Him. Let us pray. Gracious Father and God, we love you today and we adore you. We thank you so very much for being a God that is that never sleeps, that never slumbers, that has watched over us all night long. We are grateful to God that you have kept us all night, that you have kept us from hurt, harm, and danger, that you've kept us safe, kept us protected. We thank you, God, for loving us enough that you've given us another day, a day we could not earn, a day that many of us, based on our activities, based on how we live our lives, we don't deserve. But yet and still, God, your grace, your mercy, your love is the reason why we are still here. And so for that, God, we say thank you. Now, God, as we delve into your word, God, speak to us. Speak to us like you have so many times this year. Speak to us in a place, God, that we might be able to hear you. Not only hear you, but heed your word. We don't want to just be hearers of your word, but we want to be doers of your word. Not just doers towards another, but do the work within ourselves. God, we love you today. We adore you, and God, we do trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Again, we want to thank God for just every allowance of us being alive. On this morning, we're going to the front of the book, the beginning, going to the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis, we're going to the fourth chapter. I'm going to read a familiar passage. We are going to start at the third verse. Well, we'll start at the first verse. Genesis 4, starting at the first verse. And we're going to read the story of Cain and Abel. Yes, I know you know the story, but we're going to read it anyway. From the New American Standard Bible, it reads as follows. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was the keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? He said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden, and I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. So the Lord said to him, therefore, Whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain so that no one finding him would slay him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And the word of the Lord is blessed. I don't think I need to read that from any other version. On this morning, we're going to talk about the ripple effects of unchecked anger. The ripple effects of unchecked anger. When we talk about things that, if you have one of those icebreakers, and they say, tell somebody your name, tell them where you're from, and tell them something that they would not necessarily know about you. Well, I'm about to share something you all might not necessarily know about me. I am fascinated by shows that talk about the advancements of commercial air travel through accidents that have occurred years before. No, I'm not into the blood and the gore of accidents, but I am into lessons learned. What did we learn about air travel? Because, mind you, I'm a little older, and so I remember when accidents happened so very often. And now they rarely happen, and we thank God for that. We thank God because I often find myself being on a plane. But I get curious about the things that I learned from previous accidents. And so I was watching one episode, and they talked about Northwest Flight 5719. Northwest Flight 5719 was a flight that was going from Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport to International Falls Airport, in International Falls, still in Minnesota. So it was a commuter flight. It was one that would not have been in the air very long. And on December 1st, 1993, this particular flight, again, which was a commuter plane that had two pilots, 16 passengers on it, collided with a group of trees in a forest, and it killed all 18 aboard. So the show that I watch actually goes through and tries to figure out, piece together what could have happened. They listen to the flight recorder, which records the conversations in the cockpit. If it's a larger plane, there's actually another recorder that records the types of things that, you know, the altitude and the readings of all of the gears and things on the actual plane. This particular aircraft only had the flight recorder that was in the flight deck. I promise you, I'm going somewhere. And so they had to look at the plane pieces that they could gather. They could tell that nothing technically happened with the operations of the plane. So they were at a loss in listening to the actual, flight recorder from the perspective of trying to land a plane. They didn't hear anything out of the ordinary. So then what they have to do is they have to do a psychological evaluation on the actual pilots. Is there something that was going on with the pilots that could have caused the accident? Came to be that the pilot was a rather angry person. And so because of his anger, he was prone to outbursts of anger. Now, mind you, he was very competent of flying, but he would even take out his anger on a plane flight such as the one that crashed by doing dangerous maneuvers in flight and intimidating and provoking the passengers. He would make them angry by, you know, causing turbulence when there wasn't any. And he would also intimidate and have provocative anger towards his colleagues. He was once accused of slapping a co-pilot headphones in anger, which then caused those that did the research to listen to the entire flight recorder, and they heard how he basically intimidated this new co-pilot, who, by the way, was very capable himself. He graduated at the top of his flight class. But because of the actions of the pilot, because of how he acted, the co-pilot was supposed to tell him his altitude as they were going down, you know, 6,000 feet, 5,500 feet, 5,000 feet, 5,400 feet, so on and so forth. So he was supposed to tell them the altitude, but because he was so intimidating towards him through the whole flight, the co-pilot didn't feel like he could do his job. Why am I telling you all of this? Because you all, unchecked anger, if people say, you know, I just pull myself away from people when because I know I got anger issues. But you all, we see here in the Word of God in chapter 4, the tragic story of Cain, that his anger consumed him to the point of no return. You all, so not only did Cain allow anger to take root in his soul, but it caused him to be so frustrated that it turned to jealousy. His jealousy turned to bitterness, and his bitterness turned into anger. As a matter of fact, God tried to warn Cain, said sin is lurking at the door, and it has a desire for you, but you have to master it. This warning, it should have told Cain, but it should remind us that anger is not just a fleeting emotion, but it has the opportunity for sin to take control. You all, Cain chose to ignore God's warnings, and the consequences were irreversible. They were catastrophic. It led to the death, the murder of his own brother. But not only did he lose his brother, he lost his peace, he lost his purpose, and he lost his connection in the presence with God. Unchecked anger, you all, is like wildfire. I know I'm talking to somebody on this line right now that has struggled with being able to get anger in check. It begins with a spark, but then it can quickly consume everything in its path if it's not extinguished. For Cain, it destroyed his relationship with not just his brother, of course, his brother was gone, but with his family and with God. And the same can happen to us if we allow anger to fester. So what do we learn from this? First of all, acknowledge. Acknowledge your anger. God asked Cain, why are you angry? He said, well, God knows everything. Right. But God gives us opportunity to be retrospective. Why are you angry? Being angry by itself is not sinful. The Bible even says, be angry and do what? Sin not. But when we ignore the fact that we're angry, when we deny the fact that we're angry, it can grow unchecked. And we've got to take time to figure out why we're angry, and then seek God's guidance to get it resolved. We got to guard against bitterness. Again, God told Cain, sin is lurking at the door. Anger that's not dealt with becomes perfect ground for bitterness to grow. And it doesn't just affect you, it poisons your relationships and your perspective. You got to ask God to help you release that anger before it's able to take root and grow. And finally, you all, God told Cain, he encouraged him to master it. Anger can feel overwhelming, but you all, we are not helpless. We're not helpless in the face of anger. Through prayer, through through embracing and reading and eating the scripture, and through godly counsel, we can learn to control our emotions rather than letting them control us. Listen, if you're dealing with anger today, give it to God. Confess it to God. Ask for his help. Take some practical steps so that unchecked anger does not take you out, nor does it take out anyone you love. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you. Thank you so very much for causing us to look at ourselves, see if there are any areas of not just unchecked anger, but any unchecked emotion. God, let us trust you enough to give it over to you, to allow you to deal with it. God, that we might not harm ourselves or harm those we love. God, help us as we go about our day to day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Have an amazingly God-blessed day. In Jesus' name.